The scripture reading for today will be Psalms 23, verses 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
There's an ancient Hebrew or Semitic word, really, habiru, H-A-B-I-R-U. It means wandering peoples. It does not refer to people that today we would call drifters or bums. Instead, it referred to people who moved around. These were people who were trying to find grazing land for cattle or goats or most often for sheep. And so these people, called habirus, were primarily shepherds. First shepherd that we read about in the Bible was Abel. But the most notable shepherd was Abram, later known as Abraham. God made Abraham the father of a nation who were primarily shepherds. And so habiru, over time, may have become the word we know as Hebrew. As Psalm 23 shows, and it was just read, Israel saw God as their shepherd, spiritually, figuratively, the one they looked to for the role of their shepherd. The God-ordained leaders of Israel were to shepherd their people on God's behalf. They were commissioned, if you will, ordained to do that. They were responsible for the physical and the spiritual well-being of God's people, God's sheep. God's long-promised Savior of his people was described as shepherding his people in Micah chapter 5 and verses 1 through 4. In accord with that, John 10 in the New Testament has Jesus proclaiming himself to be the good shepherd. This morning, we're going to see part of what that means as we look at verses 1 through 5 of John 10. And next week, we're going to look further in chapters verses 7 through 15 of that same chapter. I want us to read these first five or six verses, though, this morning and really start thinking about what this means. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. These verses tell us about Jesus as the true, the prophesied, the God-sent shepherd. They tell us about his nature. They tell us about his relationship to his sheep. And they tell us about his abilities. They also tell us some vital things about what a shepherd does, whether it's a shepherd of actual sheep, or more importantly, as Jesus intended it here, as a shepherd of people, and ultimately, a shepherd in Christ's church. Since we're in the process of selecting elders in this congregation, also known as shepherds in Scripture, we need to really consider these things very carefully. Three particular traits stand out in the first five verses of John 10. The first is that a good shepherd is trusted by his people. In Jesus' case as the Messiah, Jesus was and is and will be forever the real thing. Anyone else, either before or after, is an imposter. Now, it's easy for me to say that, not so easy for anyone to accept that, unless that's what we have already come to the conclusion about. But Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 24 that many would come claiming to be him. Many had come already before he came claiming to be him. Many have come through the ages claiming to be him. But all of them have been proven to be imposters. Jesus' sheep are his people. Let me say that again. Jesus' sheep are his people. And everyone knows that, especially his sheep. He's deeply concerned about their physical and their spiritual welfare. He has a personal, loving relationship with them. Over the course of time and experience, they have learned that he is trustworthy. He's developed integrity with them. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 3, "The integrity of the upright guides them." And again in chapter 13 and verse 6 of Proverbs, he wrote similarly, "Righteousness guards the man of integrity." Integrity is necessarily connected to God because righteousness comes from God. And so to say that a man who would serve as a shepherd of God's people has to be a man of integrity is also to say that this is a man of righteousness. This is a man who has a right relationship with God. This is a man who recognizes that any righteousness that he has is derived from his relationship with God. He takes nothing upon himself in arrogance or pride. He realizes that whatever he is as a godly man is due to the extent and the depth of relationship he has with his Father God. In Matthew 22 and verse 16, Jesus' detractors used flattering words in hopes of deceiving him. But they actually described him perfectly when they said, "Teacher, we know you are a man of integrity." And then they went on to explain what that means, and that's instructive, informative for you and I by saying, "And that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are." That's integrity. Jesus was a man of integrity. He did teach God's way in accordance with the truth. And he was not swayed by men because he was committed to God. Because of this, and because of who he was and what he said, we can be assured of his teachings and his promises in every way. He has integrity as our good shepherd. The men who we would select to be our shepherds must be men of such integrity. Anything less simply won't do. This must be their character. And they must have such strength of character that they will stand for biblical truth whenever the pressure is put upon them to do otherwise. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 through 14, it is for all Christians, but it is especially instructive for every man who would be a shepherd of God's people. Paul wrote there in very straightforward, very cryptic terms when he said, "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong, do everything in love." That is integrity that builds trust. Isn't that the kind of man, the kind of men that we would like to serve as our elders, our shepherds in this congregation? Would we settle for anything less than that, to be the shepherds of God's people? A second trait that comes up, or a second idea that comes up here in John 10 and verses 1 through 5, is that a good shepherd knows his people personally. Jesus says he knows each of his people by name. It may seem strange to us, but in the ancient Near East, shepherds named each of their sheep, and they called each of them to follow them. Now, that doesn't mean that the sheep were their pets. It's simply the nature of a relationship between a shepherd and sheep. Sheep have to be able to recognize not only the voice, but the calling of the one who calls them. So Jesus says, if we will follow him, we'll be personally known to him, and he'll shepherd us personally. That alone ought to say something to you and I in terms of how we would perceive Jesus. He's more than simply this Son of God come down from heaven in human form to live for a relatively short period of time, about 33 years, to teach of God's will, to fulfill the prophecies of God, to be sacrificed for our sins, and then to return to heaven, and to promise us something in the future, a future that we can't even quite imagine as to when and what that future will completely involve. But this is the Jesus, the Christ, the Savior, who is with us every moment of our lives, who knows you and I personally, who chooses to have a personal relationship with us out of his care for us personally. Jesus' personal knowledge of us means that he will help us with our personal needs, whatever they are. He's watching over us. He's aware of where we are, of how and why we're hurting, and he is eager to bring each of us back to him when we're lost, whatever that will mean for each one of us. We see this in his caring ministry during that 3 to 3.5 years, and we see it ultimately in his sacrificial love for us on the cross. Shepherds of Christ Church must also know each member, each Christian, that they would shepherd, both by name and by circumstance. Their concern for the physical and spiritual well-being of their fellow Christians must be obvious. It must be obvious in their words and in their actions. It must be demonstrated in their caring relationships with all of the congregation, because that's the way Jesus functions as our shepherd. Without this, I would submit to you that a man does not have the integrity to be a shepherd. That is, he does not have the credibility among us individually to be a shepherd. If we don't know a man, and if we don't believe that he has integrity with us, we won't follow him, will we? It becomes a very practical matter. We'll only trust and follow the voice of a man that we know and that we know cares about us. The third concept that comes up in this passage in John 10 is that a good shepherd leads his people, and he does so skillfully. Jesus leads his people, he says here, out of the shelter. As Psalm 23 reflects, he leads his people. He leads them to peace, and he leads them to nourishment. He ensures safety for the people of his care by his power, by his strength. He leads his people in such a way that they are caused to trust him. He cares for all their needs and all of their hurts. And as a result of this kind of care, this extent, this breadth of care, he assures that they are in need of nothing that they truly need. Shepherds in Christ Church focus their attention on these things spiritually. They realize that they must lead their people to spiritual places that their people have not been, in order for them to be healthy and to grow. Their people trust the guidance and the leadership of their shepherds despite their fears, because they know their shepherds, and they know that their shepherds care about them, and they know their shepherds are skillful in leading them. In other words, they know that their shepherds know what they're doing. Shepherds of God's people know that to lead people, they have to be in front. Being in front is sometimes a tough place to be. Someone said that one of the perils of being in front is that you're a target. And that's true. I'm not sure how it is in Afghanistan or Iraq today, but I can tell you in Vietnam, it was typically a lieutenant who led out a patrol into the jungles. And the enemy knew exactly what to look for, because even though it was not in shiny metal, he had a couple of bars on his helmet or on his uniform. That was the first guy that they attempted to kill. The thinking was that if you kill the leader, everybody else would just go crazy and run in every different direction. Leaders are targets sometimes. But they shouldn't be a target from within, should they? They shouldn't be a target of their own people. They're only a target of the enemy. Shepherds who are leaders, and there really is no kind of shepherd that is not a leader, not really. If he's a shepherd, by necessity, he's a leader. They don't wait for their people to lead them before taking action. They don't do what has become common within political circles today, is take some kind of a poll to determine what the leader should do. That denies a man as a leader. He has a pulse on things, yes, but he knows what his people need. And as the leader, he leads. Their people await the guidance of those who they have chosen as their leaders. Shepherd leaders must know what to do and how to do it. There is a learning curve, absolutely. Most of it comes before they take on that role. In Psalm 78, and verses 70 through 72, it says of God, "He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people Jacob, of Israel's inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands, he led them." I know that as a congregation, we have been praying now for a good month, in cases, many cases, much longer than a month, for God to bless this congregation with men who would be suited biblically to be elders, to be shepherds of the congregation. We've prayed for God's development of men. We've prayed for certain men to kind of rise to the top in the sight of the whole congregation. We've prayed that the men that we would select would be men God would guide us to select. We've prayed about every aspect of this, hopefully. And I want to encourage us to continue to pray that God will provide us with such men to be our shepherds, and that those men will commit themselves to Jesus' model of being a good shepherd. In John 10 and verse 11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." Jesus laid down his life for all people, so that all people would choose him to be the shepherd of their lives. We can only choose him as our shepherd if we choose to no longer be our own shepherd. You know, there's a reason why the image of God's people as sheep is found within Scripture and found repeatedly as a continuing theme of how God characterizes his people. Sheep need a leader that is not like them. They need one who sees and knows what they do not see and know. No wonder the Savior of the world would be termed the Good Shepherd. No wonder God calls for us to select men from amongst ourselves who have that extra edge, that extra knowledge, that extra ability, that extra in terms of character. Only Jesus can lead us to what our souls most want and most need, both now and forever. And our question this morning really is, will you choose him as your shepherd if you have not yet, right now, by coming forward as we stand and sing?